Sunday and then Easter after that. So this is the fourth Sunday that we observe as a Sunday in Lent, where we take time for self-examination, prayer, and meditation of the scripture to look into our hearts and to our lives every day, that that we need to renounce certain things that are binding us, evil forces of hatred, injustice, and other things that bind us together, to renounce them. And also leave away some of the habits that we probably take on, eating too much or drinking too much, things like that. Sometimes we forget. But this is a time in church calendar to remind us to look at these little things. Even though sometimes we forget, those will help us a lot, not only spiritually but also physically in our lives. So this is what Lent is all about. And also many churches take this time to dedicate the time to serve the poor, feed the hungry, and also to support the homeless people, things like that, during this time, especially in many churches. So that is our fourth Sunday in Lent as we gather together. God has given us one more day to be here with hope and strength to get up this morning to see the sunlight. That's a gift from God. Every day, every moment is a gift from God, because we don't know what happens next moment, right? So we take it as we get it and thank God for everything that is coming with it. Sometimes there are things that we may not like, but there is one thing that we have to be assured about and confirmed about, is that God is with us regardless of what we go through every day, every moment of our life. The announcements are listed in the back of the bulletin. Those are the regular announcements. You can go through that, particularly the food bank ministry. If you want during this Lent season to donate, you can donate in cash or in kind. And also the third Thursday luncheon is going to be this Thursday at Golden Corral at 1 p.m. Please join for a time of fellowship and lunch. Then, as I mentioned, the calendar is listed there for your reminder. Take this time of Lent to reflect on our lives and spend in time of prayer and meditation of the scripture. Thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of this church that God has given us to do in this community, to serve as His people to the people who are in need. And thank you for your prayers, presence, gifts, and service at Midness. God loves a cheerful giver. Please use our online opportunities to donate whatever way is available online as well. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have any other announcements? Thank you again for joining here and also online. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn, hymn number 57, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. We will sing verses 1 through 5. It's on the screen as well. Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this time that you have given us together in this church and also online to gather in your name to worship you. We thank you for the gift of life and all the many blessings that you shower upon us every day. Thank you for the good health and strength you gave us in our bodies to get up this morning to be here to worship together, O God. Especially during this Lent season, help us, Lord, to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the love that God gave himself for us, that we may reflect that love to others and to renew our covenants that we made during our baptism during this season. Enable us by your good Spirit, O God, to worship in truth and in spirit. Thank you for coming down to this world and empathizing with us in our weaknesses, in our sin, in our suffering, that you took upon all of those things and went to Calvary and died for us. And you are a risen God living in heaven, on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, always there praying for us. Thank you again for your presence here in our midst, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. Honor your name, lift your name up in our singing, in our prayers, the meditation of the word, that your spirit will move in our hearts, that will be empowered as we go from this place. May your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our greeting time now. If you're able, please rise up and greet each other. Standing, we will read the responsive reading, which is Psalm 51. It will be on the screen. You can follow that on the screen.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me.
For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me.
Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your word and justified when you judge.
Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place.
Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be a wither than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me from your presence, or take me from your Holy Spirit.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me the living spirit to sustain me.
Then I will teach transgressions your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you.
Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness.
Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise.
You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings.
My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. You, God, will not despise.
May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifice of the righteous. The burnt offerings will offer forth, and the woods will be offered on your altar.
The word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. It's our prayer time. Now we share our prayers of concerns and blessings together and thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also share our burdens and concerns and also lift them up to the throne of grace of God, united in faith. And we trust in God's promise that when His people unite in faith in this world and lift their hearts up together, God will answer our prayers. And so let us go to God in prayer. Our regular prayer requests are listed at the back of the bulletin. Those are the ones that remind us to pray every day for these items and these people. Listed there, pray for Jeff Woodman, Sean and Amy Conway, Lou Hughes and Yolanda Tam, Pam, Ashton Adam, and Melissa Pilcher, that we have been praying for. But also continue to lift up Jean McPrayer, Grace Haynes, Cal Clemens, Jan Bezor, and Jerry Raines, and all those who are going through difficult times in their lives that we know of, and we don't know many of them are in many difficult situations. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who serve us behind the scenes every day. Let us be thankful for their services and thank God for everything that they provide for us, and also lift them up to God for their safety and their family's safety. Pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, and that they will fear God and be guided by God's wisdom rather than human wisdom when they make decisions that will unite us as a country and also bring peace and prosperity to our society. Also pray for world peace, world leaders, especially as wars are going around the world, that God will intervene and bring a settlement to all of these problems in various parts of the world, and that they will fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. And pray for our church that God has given us in this community to serve here, that we will use the opportunities that God gives us faithfully to serve this community. And pray for all the churches in and around us in this coming area, and also the leaders, the pastors, and the works that they are doing, and also the World Church at large, around the world, missionaries and many others who work in many parts of the world. Let us remember them in our prayers also. Especially remember our military, and also the families who are grieving. Some of our soldiers have fallen. Pray for them, their families, to have peace during this time. Those are the prayer requests that I wanted to bring up. Anybody have anything? Yes.
I have one.
I'm
asking everybody for a special prayer, because on the 23rd, I'll be going in to have a total knee replacement on my left leg, on my left knee. It's all gone.
What? I mean, this month?
Mm-hmm.
23rd.
Yeah, a week from tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So,
I have a total knee replacement on my left knee.
Please pray for Lou as she's going for the knee replacement on the 23rd. Okay. It's going to be one day, or you have to stay in the hospital? Do you know?
No, I won't be staying in the hospital. Okay.
You're all getting new parts every day. Right? Many of you have. At some point, everything will be renewed.
But I can tell you, once that knee is replaced, you feel much better. There's no pain in it now.
Yes, right.
Yeah. That's good. And after all of this done and done, we'll be in heaven with a new body. And we'll not have to do this anymore. Right? No pain, no suffering. Thanks be to God for that. If there are no other prayer requests, let us go to God in prayer for a silent prayer in the beginning, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer after that. Let us pray. Scripture we read, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? If God, it is God who justifies and blesses us. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather in your name and bring before you our prayers of blessings and also prayers of concerns. Thank you, O God, for the gift of life along with all its joys and blessings that we receive. You gave us a life in this world not out of our choice, but it is your blessing and your gift. Thank you for covering us with your safety and protection every day. Thank you for taking care of every need that we have in our lives, every moment of our lives. You are there faithfully giving us everything that we need to have a life in this world. The air that we breathe, the water we drink, the sun that we enjoy, everything is your gift, O God, and we thank you for that. We come before you for our needs also, O God, because many of us are broken in many different ways, in our bodies, in our spirits, in our souls. But you are the healer who make everything whole. When we are lonely, you are our friend. And when we go through life's sorrows and loss, you will give us comfort and peace. You are the source of all true healing, O God. And the comfort that you give us, nobody else can give us in this world. We ask for courage in the face of our opposition, O God. And peace under pressure and tension. Give us faith in the face of tragedy, O God. And comfort in grief and bereavement. As we reflect on our lives during this Lent season, help us, Lord, to renounce those things that we have to leave from our lives, and to take on the good things that you have taught us, like kindness and compassion and caring for others and respecting others, to do justice. Thank you again for this time that you gave us for reflection during this Lent season. renew our faith and fill our souls with the light of your presence. Mend our broken hearts and our spirits, O God. And many people are going through difficult times in their lives because of the economy, because of the war and broken relationships, Lord. We pray for your comfort and peace on them. Provide for them according to their needs, O God. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to help us, nor his ear too dull to hear. That's what the scripture teaches us. Help us, Lord, to trust in you every day. And we pray for all of those people who need your presence and comfort during this time. Bless them with your grace and bless us all with your presence today. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, O God, as we lift up all of our dear ones in your hands, especially the ones that we have prayed here. Jeff Woodman, Sean and Amy Conway, Lou Hughes, Yolanda and Pam, and Ashton, Adam, Melissa. We also lift up Jean McBrayer and Grace Haynes and Carol and Jerry. And we pray for our service workers, military, fire, police, and all those who are serving behind the scenes. We pray for Miss Lou as she's going for a surgery. In the coming days, we pray for your grace upon her. Strengthen her in her faith and her spirits that the surgery will be a success, that she will come back recovered without any issues or complications. We pray for the doctors and nurses who care for her. Bless them with your grace and knowledge. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, that they will be guided by God's Spirit and not human wisdom, to unite us together as a country, bring peace and prosperity here, O God. We pray for the world leaders also, that they will fear God when they make decisions and bring all these wars to an end, that we have a peaceful society around the world. We pray for our church and help us to do your work in this community faithfully with the opportunities that you have given us to do, to share your love to others, to care for the people who are in need, and to be a helping hand, the hands of Christ for this community. We pray for all the churches and pastors and ministers and leaders of the church around this area. And also we pray for the world church at large and the missionaries and many others who work in many parts of the world, that they will be strengthened by the power of your Spirit as they do their work. We thank you again for your presence in our midst, O God, and help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, to lift up your name and open our hearts to receive your word, that we'll be empowered by your presence and your word as we go from this place. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory.
Blessing in this life. We pray that you bless this offering for your use, and we love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At the dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him and sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now, go now and leave your life of sin." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Loving God and living Word, we thank you for the gift of your Word that you give us to be our life and spirit in this world. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive your Word with humility and obedience. Illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear today. Speak to me and speak through me to your people, that we will all be filled with the power of your Word as we receive it. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this Sunday, as the fourth Sunday in Lent, we are looking at another story that Jesus was encountered in this world in his ministry. Last week we talked about a woman that Jesus met on the way to Galilee in Samaria, the Samaritan woman at the well, and we talked about that encounter. And this is another woman who was actually brought to Jesus. If you look at the Bible, in the printed Bible in your hands, most of the versions have this passage, this story, written in italics. Some of them in brackets. The reason for that is there was a difference of versions in the beginning, early centuries, when they compiled the Bible. There were two different versions of the scripture, the manuscripts that they found. Some of them were in Greek, and some of them were in some other languages like Hebrews and other languages. So the ones that the Eastern Orthodox Church followed was the Greek, because the Greece and the Mediterranean area were all Greek people. So they were following the Greek version, and that version did not have this passage. And the other version, the Latin version, had this there. So at some point of time, this story was included by some of the early fathers as scripture, and one version did not get it. So in 1611, when the King James Version was compiled, and that is one of the foundational Bible that we all use, and all the other Bibles that we have are various versions and of King James Version actually. So in 1611, when that people who gathered together to compile a version of the Bible, they joined these together and found that this story is a very genuine story that needs to be included as part of the scripture. And that's why it is written in italics in many versions. So Does that mean it is not inspired by the word of the Spirit of God? It is inspired by the Spirit of God because it teaches exactly what Jesus was teaching, and it does not conflict with anything that Jesus stood for or taught during his life in this world. So this is a very interesting story. Imagine a crowd gathered in a town square. In their hands are stones. And in the middle of the crowd, there's a trembling, fearful woman, shivering in fear, shaking and ashamed, exposed and certain that she is going to be stoned to death. Every eye is fixed on that woman. Every hand around in that crowd had a rock in their hand or a stone. But suddenly, someone steps forward. Someone that they least expected, Jesus. Instead of shouting or arguing or questioning the woman, just like the other people were accusing her, he had a different way of approaching the whole situation. And he, instead of accusing the woman or arguing with the people who brought her there, he bent down and started writing on the stone in the sand. That was a very interesting way how Jesus responded in a situation like that. See, the problem here is the Jewish leaders at that time want to catch Jesus and trap him in something. That was the purpose. It was not the woman that was the issue there. It was Jesus who was the issue for the religious leaders. He was teaching the scripture as God taught them, God wanted them to follow. Instead, the Jewish leaders took it and taught the scripture in the synagogues to their advantage, taking advantage of the poor and the weak and the women. So the issue here was not about the woman. She was only a scapegoat or a piece in the puzzle. But the leaders wanted to trap Jesus because if he says that this woman had sinned, we caught her in the act of adultery. That's what they told him. And he was a Jewish prophet and a teacher. And they wanted him to confirm that she needs to be stoned to death. And they thought that he was going to say she should be stoned to death because Moses' law says that. But Jesus knew better. Moses' law does not say just the woman should be stoned to death. But if you look at the Leviticus and the Deuteronomy areas of the scripture where we read those things, it says that if somebody is caught in adultery, both the woman and the man should be brought to the judge and will be stoned to death if found guilty. So they left one part out of it, the man part, and there was no man. Only the woman was brought there. And that not only that, Jesus knew another thing that they had in mind, that if he says that she should be stoned to death, death penalty was against the Roman rule at the time. They were ruled by Romans.
Amen.
So Romans had a rule against death penalty. So he will be in trouble. Jesus will be in trouble with the Roman government. And if he says that she should not be stoned to death, then he will be found against the Mosaic law, the law of Moses.
Yeah, right.
So they wanted to trap Jesus in the middle. And Jesus knew that, what they were trying to do. They were using this poor woman who was even as guilty or more. The people who were surrounding her were more guilty probably as she was. Even then Jesus took a different approach. He did not condone the sin, he did not convict her. Instead of being convicting or judgmental, Jesus was compassionate. That's what the story is all about. How do we deal with people's sin? Because Jesus came to love the sinner and hate the sin. In many times we get this confused and we hate the sinners. When we find somebody who is a sinner, labeled as a sinner, in many ways a murderer or a burglar or anything like that that we commonly call sinners, we immediately label them, put a label on their head. But what do we have on our forehead? We forget that. We are all sinners. And we are redeemed by the grace of God, and that's why we are here only, because of grace of God.
Yes.
But we were all sinners at one point. So Jesus stooped down and started writing in the sand. So many times people were very curious about this. The preacher is going to tell us that what he was writing on the sand. The scripture doesn't say anything about it. It's a lot of interpretations about among the theologians and scholars that who wanted to say this and that. It could be anything. I don't know what Jesus was writing. It is not written there. It is not described there. So we are not supposed to know, apparently. If it was supposed to be known by the word, it should have been written there, right? So I don't want to go into any speculation what Jesus was writing. But one thing that probably Jesus was telling them, I am bending down to write this here because you guys know the law that Moses wrote, or God wrote and gave to Moses, the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments. He was probably trying to remind them about the Ten Commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love your God, and do not commit adultery, do not cheat, do not steal. And he wrote, probably was reminding them about all of those things that God wrote on a tablet and gave to Moses. Probably that was a reminder for that writing down there. In other words, he was telling to the crowd around him that, hey, you brought a woman here, convicting her of sin. How about you guys? Are you free from sin? So he started writing down, and then he straightened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Then he stooped down and started to write again. So that second writing probably is about his own writing about the judgment that Jesus wanted to make. That he wanted to forgive this woman for her sins. He came to this world. The birth of Christ was the first writing probably, and the death of Christ was the second writing. It could be, symbolically. So at this time, when they heard this, they began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. That's very interesting. They began to leave, dropping the stones there, older ones first. What does that mean? The older you get, the older you get, probably we get more in sin, because the life we go through teaches us so many bad things in our lives. When I was a boy, probably, like, you know, a five-year-old boy is probably more innocent than we are, right? Because the hard life lessons in this world teach us to be more arrogant and more hateful, and sometimes we become more sinful in many ways. So that's something, you know, beside the fact about the grace of God, the older ones started leaving first. So he mentioned it. The younger ones probably are better in God's kingdom. When everything was done and gone, there was a pile of rocks, the woman and Jesus. Dear friends, as we live out our life in this world, this is a very tough world that we live in. The world is there to convict you and being judgmental against you. That is a fact. And they have stones in every hand, in every way they got, the world can get you. All the commercials that you get, all the businesses around us, I mean, all of those things, they are good things. But they are there to trap you into certain things that if you are not careful.
Amen.
We go to lunch after service every Sunday. Sometimes I feel guilty afterwards. When I go home, I overeat. It's not about the restaurant, right? It's about how we get pulled into these things that we indulge in, many things that we don't want to be. That's what the force of evil and sin around us. So when after all these are done and said, there will be only Jesus and you and a pile of rocks. And then Jesus asked her, what happened, woman? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, sir. Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. If you think about it, Jesus was the only one who was anything to do with a judgment, because he was the sinless person, sinless God's son in this world. He was the only one in that crowd who had no sin, and he was the only one who was really eligible to make any judgment on a sinner. All the others were sinners. And the one who did not have any sin did not condemn her, but being compassionate to her. Dear friends, our God is a God of compassion and not a God of conviction.
Yes, yes.
God is there to support us in our suffering, in our weakness. And God knows that we are weak people. We can fall and falter. We may fall into sin, but there is always God picking us up and asking us to return, like the prodigal son who left the father's house and squandered and wasted all his wealth and came back as a prodigal son, asking him to take him back as a servant. But the father says, you are not a servant. Regardless of what your past has been, you are still my son, and I will take you back only as my son, not as a servant. That is for the gracious God that we have. Judgment always has a stone in the hand, but grace will always have the final word.
Amen.
That's the
Amen.
Grace of God that covers us.
Yes, Lord.
In the world around us, we have two sides to any misery. One is the judgment, the other is mercy. That is true. When somebody walks to our church or our home and asks for some help, that because they lost their home, the first thing is judgment that comes to our mind. What happened? Why did you lose your home? You did something terrible, didn't you? Maybe you didn't do the right things. But then again, as Christians, we have to bring up our mercy that Jesus taught us, the grace of God that God has shown to us, not to be judgmental, but to be merciful and gracious. There remained only two, misery and mercy. The woman represents misery, and Jesus represents mercy and grace. Jesus was the only person who had the right to condemn her, and yet he did not. We are all sinners forgiven by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. By the end of the story, the crowd is gone, the stones are on the ground, and only two people remained. That's misery and mercy. And whenever misery meets Jesus, mercy always wins. Jesus is always about mercy and grace and compassion. The cruelty of human judgment is very evident in this story. The sinners are the worst people who make judgments. Whenever you see out there who make big noises about human morality, and they are the worst one who actually break those moral rules until they get caught.
Amen.
Human judgment is always cruel. Because one of the authors that I read in about this in this in his book, he says, it is a terrible thing for a sinner to fall in the hands of fellow sinners. It's a terrible thing. Because the sinners are the ones who are worst in judging others. Jesus was not sinful, so he had mercy and grace and compassion. The real motive was not justice. It was about condemnation and manipulation. They wanted to trap Jesus using that poor woman as a scapegoat and a tool. Stones are easy to pick up. When we forget our own sins in our lives, we all need mercy and grace from God. The wisdom and mercy of Jesus show that they prevail more than evil and judgment. And this also trying to tell us one more thing, that when grace did not ignore the truth, it does not ignore the truth. It disarmed condemnation. That's what happened. So if you say that the religious leaders probably thought that Jesus was on the wrong side, not convicting her and stoning to death. But one of the authors is saying like this, if you say that Jesus is on the wrong side of an issue, I would rather stand on that side with Jesus. That is something that we have to take heart during this time. We have to stand with Jesus, even when the world might think that it is foolish or it's not the right thing. But if Jesus is on one side, you would rather be on that side with Jesus. The freedom that Jesus gives, that woman felt that day, in the midst of shame, in the midst of brokenness, she felt free because Jesus found her free, set her free. The Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. So as we continue to reflect on our lives during this Lent season, reflect on our own situations in life. Are we being judgmental or are we being merciful? That day the stones fell from many hands. The accusers walked away convicted. The woman walked away forgiven and free. That's the purpose of the ministry of church in this world, to set the people free by showing mercy and grace. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is a correction there in the bulletin. It's God of Grace and God of Mercy. It is 577 in the book. It will be on the screen.
For the living of this day. and selfish gladness, rich in books and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Save us, really, blessed nation, to the evils we deplore. Let us search for thy salvation, be our glory evermore. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving him who we adore.
People of God, go in the knowledge that God is gracious and merciful. The stones may accuse us, the world may condemn us, but when Jesus speaks, grace always has the last word. Be filled with the grace of God as we go from this place, so that we can share that grace and love to this world. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.